Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop here on The Rock, and I'm talking with Jimmy Bauer, man, the Bauer Power from New Orleans Legends, I Hate God. Jimmy, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I can't complain. Just looking forward to chatting with you. Now, I have to bring something up. It's not so much of a question, more so just a story. So last time, I believe it is the last. Okay, so do you remember when you played Bumper Shoot up here in Seattle? It's like a big music festival.
Yeah. I think Prong played.
Yep. Black Breath. Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, believe it or not, someone threw a huge bottle of vodka at Mike, and you guys had a pretty awesome show, pretty raucous. People were getting into it. Believe it or not, you guys were, to my knowledge, the last metal band to ever get booked on that fest.
Oh, you think the vodka had something to do with it?
I'm just curious. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't remember it. And did we drink it?
I believe Mike did drink it. Yes, but it was all I'm saying is you guys went out that fest went out with a bang. They're more doing like indie pop and hip hop now. You guys were the last, the main event, dude, of heavy metal on Bumper Shoot. So congratulations.
Oh, well, I definitely. Definitely something to brag about then, you know?
Absolutely, man. But I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that was a funny story. I mean, also, they booked I Hate God. They knew they had, I mean, did they do any research? Come on now.
They might not have, you know, but if I remember correctly, that was a fun thing. It was outside, right?
Yeah, it was outside festival. We got to introduce you guys. You were humping me on stage while we were talking about our sponsor, Starbucks, and you were like, screw that. It was a good time.
Oops.
Exactly.
So that was before the vodka. You can only imagine what happened after.
Exactly. I ask this question typically at the end of the interviews, but I feel like since you're I Hate God, you're Jimmy Bauer, I want to get it out of there, and I feel like you guys might have a good story for it. So if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar, Jimmy.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, I got a good one. I have one on my right, the palm of my hand.
Okay.
And when I was playing drums with COC for a stint there, we opened for Pantera on their last tour ever in Australia.
Yeah.
So we're at the hotel and, you know, we're in the lobby, me and Dimebag and a bunch of other people drinking margaritas. So we just keep drinking and keep drinking. Me and Dimebag is basically me and him hanging out. We start dancing with these like elderly people, you know, like old ladies and stuff. And, you know, everything seems fine, everything. And next thing I know, we're cursing them out for some ungodly reason. I guess the tequila started kicking in.
Yeah.
So I grab a glass. We both grab two margaritas and we're like, okay, let's just go party in the room, you know? So there was some steps walking up to the elevator and I went right over and put my hand through one of those margarita glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And had to go to the hospital, and some Aborigine dude hugged me and said, "You're my brother," and all this crazy. Pepper brought me to the hospital, and but that's pretty much my scar story, you know.
It went from hanging out with the old folks to just swearing them out. Okay,
I don't know what happened.
One to ten, real fast.
Yeah, from for the life of me, I cannot remember what happened, you know.
But that's how it ended, dude. That's well, you got the scar to tell the story, man.
But I had to play. And the next day,
oh no!
This is how sweet of a person Dimebag was. Mm-hmm. I kept talking. I said, man, I'd love to go deep sea fishing in the Indian Ocean. You know, like an hour later, he put papers under everybody's door. He rented a 65-foot catamaran.
Whoa!
The next day, and yeah, and everybody went deep sea fishing in like 10-foot seas. And it was funny because everybody from Texas threw up, but everybody from Louisiana was all right.
That's awesome. Dude,
yeah.
Sounds really cool.
That just shows how sweet of a person that guy was, you know?
That is a sweetheart move, man. That's really cool. Man. So I was listening, Jimmy, I was listening on the Josta podcast. You were mentioning how you're doing some steel work right now on your off time from working on the band?
Ornamental rails.
Oh, okay.
Like fabricating, you know, for rails, for like steps for mm-hmm. porches and inside houses and staircases and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm 52 years old, man. That shit is heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, he's a good friend of mine, my friend Jimmy. And he actually really is helping me out because, you know, obviously, as everybody knows, musicians,
mm-hmm.
musicians and entertainers got a rowing and stick on this deal. And, you know, other bar patrons and restaurants and all. But you got to do what you got to do, man. I got kids and stuff, mm-hmm. so got to work, you know.
So has that kind of been the thing that's been keeping you sane and also, you know, keeping you steady as far as income and stuff? Is that kind of the thing that's been keeping you busy?
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't have that, then, you know, I'd probably be sitting at home getting fatter than I already am. And it's definitely helping me out financially, and I'm learning something too. So, you know, so it's not all bad, you know,
for sure, man. And I was curious about, so you guys, obviously I need to mention you guys have A History of Nomadic Behavior. It's available now on Century Media. Killer album. Was this worked on before the pandemic, or did you guys work on it during?
We finished it up probably right before the whole pandemic hit.
Okay.
And it's funny. I mean, we recorded the record twice because we recorded it the first time.
Yeah.
And we had two guitar players. Mm-hmm. So once Brian left, it became a completely different band. We went and reworked the songs and everything and then recorded it as a single guitar player. So, yeah, we're real proud of it, man. It came out way better than we thought it would. And it's been getting a good response. So that makes us feel good because it's been 7 years.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it sounds great. And it's probably quite an adjustment from having two guitar assault to just going to one guitar. You kind of have to change it up a little bit, or is there how comfortable are you guys with one guitar? Are you guys pretty stoked on it?
Yeah. I mean, we worked on it for a while. We toured a lot.
Oh, okay.
We toured a lot with one guitar and I had to beef up my equipment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But once we did all that, you know, and it actually made us tighter as a band, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it was definitely a little bit of a transition, but it wasn't too bad, you know?
Okay. So the album's available now. I was curious, what's it like on your end, like releasing an album during a pandemic? Cause during this time, I'm assuming you guys would probably be touring on it or at least playing some record release shows. Is that kind of a trip for you?
That was you know, we put out a record 7 years later and we're real proud of it. And basically have to sit at home,
right?
You know, so it you know, like you said, normally we'd be out really working it hard, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but you know, Mike doesn't live in New Orleans, so doing a podcast is kind of not an option right now. And but we got some things on the books for starting in October.
Yeah.
And Looks like we're going to do Psycho Fest in Vegas. So
yes.
I think that's still going on in August, hopefully. And, you know, just trying to do what we can do, you know, and until then we've been writing.
That's awesome.
For, want to do like a fast EP, you know, of all fast songs.
Okay.
So we've been staying busy, you know, doing stuff like that. But it's weird because we didn't jam for like, about 10, 11 months, you know, mm-hmm. And when we did go up in the room, it was just, I could not hear for the next day. It's just, you know, you wiping the cobwebs off and stuff, you know, so.
Have you seen that movie, The Sound of Metal yet?
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie, man.
Dude, I thought it was going to be about, you know, just straight metal. And then it kind of morphed into this awesome movie about, like, self-acceptance.
Right, right. Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it.
But you saying, like, I couldn't hear the next day reminded me of that, so.
Well, we're so loud, dude. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Ignorantly loud, you know? And that doesn't change at practice, you know? We practice on 10, so. Yeah, the ears are the first to go.
Do you guys have your own, do you guys practice at a house or do you guys share a practice space? Because I'd imagine that would maybe irritate some of the bands that we're trying to play to.
Yeah, right. There's an old hotel called the Fountain Blue.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's on Tulane and Carrollton, which is kind of mid-city, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the top three floors, it's an old hotel, so the top three floors were all made into jam rooms.
Okay.
And we've been jamming in there probably 10 years now, so nice. It's kind of everybody jams in there, you know.
Keep going.
No, dude, the rooms are pretty insulated, so, you know, as to not bother anyone else doing their work, you know.
So you're talking a lot about New Orleans and you were mentioning how you guys are in New Orleans and Mike's elsewhere, but, you know, I always see you guys as like the New Orleans band, but there's such a rich history, not just with metal, with like rock and also with, hip hop and with, funk music and like the Meters and, all kinds of amazing music down there. How much, And this might be a bit much to unpack, but how much has being from New Orleans like shaped your sound musically?
A lot. I mean, you grow up, you know, I always say this, you grow up watching Mardi Gras, watching mm-hmm. street band, you know, the marching of the bands, you know, they're right in front of your face. And then, you know, to me, everything, a lot of the music in New Orleans is a lot bluesier and obviously the atmosphere of the city is so dark and, you know, and you mix all that together and it's just, yeah, I definitely think it has a difference on our song. We've always liked to consider ourselves like a bluesy rock and roll band, you know, not just straight up metal and stuff. So I mean, that's enough. Yeah. I think with all the bands in New Orleans, take advantage. I mean, you got Crowbar, you know, and they're more doomy, but they definitely have blues factions to them, you know?
Yeah, man. And even like, so Acid Bath, I love Acid Bath. And that's a band that like, you know, if they were in New York City, you know, they could be considered like a hardcore band, but then like bring it down to New Orleans and you could hear that kind of like, swampy just dirge.
Yeah, those dudes are really from the bayou, you
know? Okay.
they're from like South Louisiana and basically
didn't
just
know,
you know, a bayou band, you know. I remember when they used to come to I Hate God shows and watch us and stuff, and then when they came out as I think they were an Alice in Chains cover band.
Oh really?
Oddly enough huh. before they started doing records, but they came into New Orleans with their thing and people immediately could recognize the talent, you know?
Hell yeah.
And, they're a really good band, man. And they definitely sound a little different, you know? Mm-hmm.
Now, so this is going to be hard for you and, you know, I don't want you to get, you know, an ass whooping if anyone hears this or anything, but since you are such a New Orleans head and you're like steeped in the musical knowledge of New Orleans, your personal New Orleans Mount Rushmore of music. So four bands or artists that you would put on your Mount Rushmore of New Orleans.
The Meters, dude.
Okay.
Because even on this last record, you know, the Meters, they barely have any vocals, mm-hmm. and they just encompass heavy, heavy funk, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, and what they did and, you know, what they still do to this day, you know, is just, it's mind blowing. And, we listen to it in the band, we're on tour and stuff. So they're a really big influence on the band as a whole, you know? And, I would say Dr. John.
Okay.
You know, not really, there's not at Zebra, you know, we used to go see Zebra play when we were all teenagers and stuff. And, you know, so that definitely weighs in a little bit, you know?
Okay. All right. So, and then I Hate God is the last one, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
right on, man. Well, okay. So this is a bit of an odd one, but, if you can remember this far back, if you were maybe not too inebriated at that time, who knows, but what was the first band t-shirt you ever got as a kid?
Oh, Kiss.
Kiss. Okay. Nice, dude. Right on.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a Kiss Destroyer shirt. I wore that thing out, man.
That's awesome. Was that one of your first concerts seeing Kiss?
No, my first concert I saw was the Rolling Stones in the Superdome.
The Rolling Stones at the Superdome. That's awesome.
I did finally see Kiss on the Creatures of the Night tour.
Okay. So,
come on, Simon. On the Creatures of the Night tour, I finally got to see him, and because I was a huge fan, Mike Williams too, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously we didn't know each other, but it definitely, you know, I mean, who didn't like Kiss, you know?
Absolutely, man, still do. Okay, so just got a couple more questions for you, man. I appreciate you taking the time. Now, you're well known for saying the power of the riff compels you. What?
Yeah.
What's your favorite riff right now?
My favorite riff right now. I've been stuck on Wheels of Confusion from Sabbath for a while.
Yeah.
And I just love the... And then my girlfriend has recently bought me the deluxe release of Volume 4.
Yes.
And
saw that.
Man, there's all kind of different versions of it and everything. So, yeah, that would have to be mine right now, man. You know, it's just such a talk about bluesy and jazzy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like something completely different. You know, to really forge metal as we know it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Just amazing, man.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, bands like to me, like old Hank Williams, that gets more punk rock than punk rock, dude. You know, it just judging more on like the attitude and mm-hmm. the rawness of what they did, you know, like same way with the Meters, you know, it's like to me, what they did was very punk rock, you know, created a genre of music and, you know, and stuff like that. So it's, I guess it all depends on how you look at it, you know, but exactly. Wheels of Confusion, not to get off the question.
Wheels of Confusion, man. Right on. What's the best way to support you guys right now, man?
You can go to our website, which is ihategod.ee, and, you know, help out with some merch and stuff, you know, if you want some merch, and just buy, you know, if you see our record or you come across it on Amazon or something, pick it up and check it out, man. And I guarantee you, you'll at least like it a little bit, you know?
Absolutely.
And hopefully once all this COVID mess, you know, once everybody gets vaccinated and all, then we'll get back to real concerts again, which I can't wait for, because I think it's really going to be monumental for music, you know?
Absolutely,
just,
man. I gotta say,
we need it. You know?
Yeah, we definitely need it. We need loud amps in the face, as Josta would say. And what I was going to say, and I brain farted on, was one of my favorite concert experiences of the last few years. I went and saw Metallica at CenturyLink Field, and we got out of there, luckily, early enough that I could head down to El Corazon, and we caught all of I Hate God. So I literally had Metallica and then I Hate God all in one night. It was so awesome.
Talk about ruined ears there, man.
Dude, that was so badass.
El Corazon's like one of the our favorite places to play. It's just they just treat us really well, and that stage sounds so good.
Hell yeah.
You know, it really does, man. So being
that we're in Seattle, my last question for you, what's your favorite Northwest, like, Seattle band of all time?
I don't know if they're from Seattle, but it would have to be the Melvins.
Yeah, man. Aberdeen, where Kurt Cobain's from, too.
I guess, well, you know, they're definitely a Washington State band.
Yep.
You know, and, yeah, I love those guys, man. They're a super big influence, and they, when I first heard the Melvins, I was like, that's the band that I hear in my head, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I really like Soundgarden a lot, too, you know? Soundgarden and Melvins were pretty much my favorite bands from that area, you know?
Awesome, man.
Well, great bands.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for taking the time, man, and go pick up A History of Nomadic Behavior right now.
Yeah, you're right. This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.